It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Mike Shope.
Hey. Put a little. I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey. Put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Well, they gave us an extra hour today to figure out what we wanted to say about the Bills' victory yesterday in Indianapolis. Football Monday on WGR, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Eric Wood, we also thought it was only fair to give him the extra hour, so he'll join us at 5. So, the Chiefs, that's what I think about yesterday. The Chiefs.
That damn field goal. The bloody blocked field goal.
Gosh. Which, isn't it a little bit better?
No.
With them undefeated?
No.
Okay.
No. No, I very rarely am thinking about, oh, I said this thing, and if it comes to pass, like, I'll get to take a victory lap. Like, because who really cares? I don't care that much. Nobody out there, I think, really cares. But for like a month, I've been in here going, just stick them with one loss, please. Just get them a loss. And if the Bills can hold serve, bring them in here with a chance to pass them in the standings, like, that would be delicious. And I know the schedule's hard after that, and all that went with it. I just really wanted it. And to be staring at it like that, like the Bills game is winding down, and I'm staring at a game cast waiting to just come on, kick a field goal. It took forever on the game cast, so it just didn't update for the longest time. And well, I guess maybe I know why, because it got blocked. But it just
no, it should have been faster. I was watching it too.
It was slow. So that really, took the wind out of me a little bit yesterday, because I thought we were home. I mean, that Denver led that game almost all day. It wasn't until the Chiefs went up 16-14. That was the first time they were ahead all game. This has got to be the day. No. Anyway, but good job, Bills. I mean, and
good job, Bills.
8-2 is tremendous. I mean, it's a record I would not have even, like, would you take? I wouldn't even have dreamt of 8-2.
We found one you would have said no to before the season. We found one you would have said no to.
Right. Yes. Would you take,
we found one you would have said yes to.
Yeah, I would have taken 8-2. I would have signed in blood for 8-2.
Well, so, we would not have needed that.
Good job, Bills. And yeah, I mean, I hear you. They're undefeated, so you can tag them with that first loss. Fine.
It's just a little bit more, one of your favorite words, luster, on this game with Kansas City still having 17-0 in the window.
I can't argue with that.
And if they get it,
it's not like it would have been lusterless if they were 8-1, but it is. There's more luster.
There's a little bit more luster.
Yeah.
Sean McDermott is speaking now. He's already ruled Keon Coleman out for this game. And on Dalton Kincaid, according to Sal Capaccio, McDermott, quote, "We'll see how he fares in the next couple days." So we have that to be monitoring. But so no Coleman already for this game. And I wasn't here.
And Cooper is, "We'll see."
Cooper,
says McDermott. "We'll see." That's the quote I see.
I'm officially signing for the weird vibes on Cooper that the caller the other day brought up. I just, just a few little subtle kind of things that make you wonder just how McDermott feels about Cooper, which I'm sure I'll be told is unfair. But there is that update, and
I might even want to tell you it's unfair.
Okay, well, that makes things more interesting. And the Matt Milano practice window was opened, McDermott is saying now, but he will not play this week.
Okay.
Still, that's kind of exciting.
That's good news. Yeah, sure. I'm not surprised at all about Coleman. Expected right. Kincaid to be vague. Any explanation of that, not – I guess I was hoping that would be the best case scenario, that it would be vague and not like definitively out a month or something.
Here's something else you might not want to agree with. When Kincaid went out of that game yesterday, I thought, you know what? maybe this offense will start to make a little bit better sense in the way that it doesn't really work for yesterday because they were down the two receivers and really needed anybody they could get in this game. But the whole thing with Kincaid has just seemed like it's being jammed in. Just never quite right. But they're winning, and I don't really think there are problems per se. But now it's not better if he's out. But I didn't hate it.
Well, they did go to a lot of 11 personnel,
which is good
with Knox as the one tight end, and yeah,
served them pretty well over the years.
It has, and I might be more open to this if Cooper and Coleman were a part of that. But it doesn't sound well. Coleman's definitely not going to be, and I don't know how optimistic. I was hoping. I meant to finish off the thought on the estimations on the injuries. I was hoping for good news on Cooper today. Not we'll see. I mean, that's not bad news. I guess it's just sort of it's nothing.
It's what. All right, you're back. The ball's back in my court. What it is McDermott. It is a way of saying, don't ask me, because he never. He's always got the next couple days. The whole point, the whole business about no reason to speculate on Cooper. It's like, oh, I guess he's going to decide. Don't you think? Like, isn't it your opinion that he's just kind of like not comfortable? Could play, but isn't.
Yes. Yeah, like pain tolerance. I think Cooper himself, I don't think McDermott said that. McDermott did make the comment that the caller brought up to us last week about, it's hard to say what kind of impact he's had because he's been in the training room a lot. And, I thought at the time when the caller brought it up, having not heard it, I thought, well, that's a little like leaning your way there. And so I don't know what this is today, but I think on Friday, Cooper said it's pain tolerance, whether he can comfortably even catch the ball.
And that might make you, it's going back a while, and it's really just kind of trivial at this point, but after the first game he missed, when it was also Benford who missed, and after that game, this is what, Tennessee? No, that's not Tennessee. That's too long ago. Seattle. That's not it either. It's last week.
Last week was the first game he missed.
And Benford missed.
Mm-hmm.
And after that game, he said, about one of them just didn't feel right. Words to that effect, which, could have been Benford, but it feels to me more like
Cooper. I'm now seeing more on Cooper being tweeted, and he's McDermott used the phrasing pain tolerance. So, like, that's where we are. I think to be perfectly honest and fair about it, I've always felt like when a coach uses that kind of language, that there's the potential for the coach to be frustrated with the guy. It does sort of shift, I think, the focus of it to, can the guy just, suck it up and get out there? And I think that's what it is code to the fans for. I think fans take it that way. I do.
It could rub the player wrong.
It could.
It's a tricky one because everybody wants specifics on these injuries. And most of the time, sometimes you can be specific or a coach will choose to be. Most of the time, though, you kind of want to just kind of leave it there. I don't know yet. Lindy's doing that now.
Right.
That happened today. There was half an hour went by. Like, we don't really know yet. It's just safer.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get it. You don't step in it doing that. But this particular area is one where I think a coach can run out of ideas for ways to describe the situation without possibly offending. And so that'll be an interesting one this week, pain tolerance. It's not what the player would want to have said about them. But what are you supposed to say? Does he have a broken wrist? No. What are you supposed to say?
I think rather than saying pain tolerance, you just say he can't catch the ball right now.
Well, you could defend him.
Right.
Which isn't what's happening.
Right. Which is what makes it notable that he's using the phrasing he's using.
Yes.
I have to confront that.
Point for me.
Yes.
Point for me. This kind of thing, I heard this come up on the hockey broadcast when Sal was on. And Brian asked him, injuries and just how you want to play it here. And maybe it would be different if Kansas City had lost. Maybe it wouldn't. This goes for the Chiefs too. Pacheco is getting close, Andy Reid said today. So maybe this goes for them too. What exactly are the stakes? You can't live like you think. You can't go assuming that Kansas City will just win the rest of its games.
They've been close to losing any one of these games they could have lost.
You can't do that in week 11.
No.
right? I mean, there are seven weeks at least after this game. You can't play it, if you will, safe. Like, you really want to win, but you've got injuries to consider. Maybe it'll be Cooper. Maybe it'll be Kincaid. Maybe it'll be Pacheco. Maybe it'll be five other guys where you might have a tie to break. And, okay, well, on one hand, this game is really big. It's kind of almost the game of the year in the NFL. Almost every year. It sort of feels like that, especially when they move it later, like last year and this one. I mean, just it gets better and better.
I mean, the pregame show's coming here, Mike.
Well.
I mean, what else needs to be said?
I can't wait for more pictures of the new stadium in the fall.
Bill Cowher's going to have a buzzer in Orchard Park.
Oh,
I don't know.
You know it's big.
Do they still do buzzers? I don't even know. Anyway,
I don't either. But on one hand, it's 9-0 versus 8-2. There's the rivalry, the history. It's just about as good as it could get. Then it's, we want to play it safe. Bye week next week. What do they always tell you about?
Five-game lead in the division.
Put it on the list.
Yep.
What do they always tell you about teams coming up on their bye week? Whether that was T.J. Hockenson with the Vikings or Jonathan Brooks with Carolina yesterday. It's just better to give them the 2 weeks more. So whether that's Kincaid here or Cooper, there's that. The division lead, you've kind of been saying all year, yes, the one seed, you want to go for it. But to a point, after that, win the division, it's largely the same. You know, 2, 3, 4, it's not the same, but you could have a conversation about how hard to go at 2 versus 3. Still too early.
Yeah,
the one is very much in play, and you're playing that team this week.
You got to keep going. I mean, so
how do you break ties?
But how do I break ties? I think anybody with the bye approaching, I think anybody there's the remotest possibility that you could make yourself worse if you go out there and play than you don't play. And I don't know that I would say that every week. I mean, I think if this game were for the one seed at the end of the year, then, you know, it's time to put on all the splints and braces and shots and needles that you can possibly fathom and, like, let's get out there because everything's on the line. So it's late enough in the year that it feels really big, but yet it also, you've got the bye, and I think we learned last year being healthy in January outranks beating the Chiefs in November or whenever they beat them last year.
Good point.
So, as much as it would sting, I wouldn't want to push anyone to get on the field in this game. And I'm the one in here clamoring for, like, let's go for the one, go for the one. I mean, I don't know what, you know, who knows what's going to happen to the Lions or even the 49ers in a few weeks. Like, people can get hurt before you play them. You go to play the Lions without Goff, like, that's a very different game.
LaPorta got hurt.
Right. So I got to do my level best, but my level best does not include pushing guys who are at risk. I just can't do it.
So are you going as far as to say, who you play this week is irrelevant when it comes to injuries? Is it irrelevant? If I'm playing...
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Playing the Patriots this week, is it the same as playing the Chiefs? Really, it's a better question put the opposite way.
I would say yes. I don't know that teams do it that way, but I would want my team to do it that way.
There's also how much is left to be new when it comes to Buffalo versus Kansas City, you know? What you'd want to do, in a vacuum, what you'd want to do with a team that you'd expect there to be a pretty good chance you will see in the postseason is try to set them up, you know, show them a look and then do something different out of it next time, to put it very simply, generally. Just kind of have that mindset is we're not giving you our very best punches here in this game because the coaching is so good that there's so much history that what does that do for it? You know, maybe you just, again, this is one where a lot of people wouldn't look at it the same way. What do you mean? I don't want to try to win this game. I'm not saying that, but I think what a coach wants to do is use the regular season meeting, use all of the regular season material in ways that can give you edges in the postseason. If you're a team that has great odds to make it, as is the case with both of these teams and always is, has been for years, right? I mean, I know last year's Bills season wasn't a lock or anything, but this one pretty much is. So do I want to kind of be coy here? How that manifests, we won't even know after this game, right? What did they do to set up a playoff meeting? Who knows? We can't tell you at that point. But it's just more of a general point that, it's back to the question of how high are the stakes here? And it's a little bit depressing to think that maybe they're not as high as it looks kind of on the surface.
Yeah, it really... I think to fully, answer the question definitively, I mean, it's really just opinion based, but what we don't know is how real they think it is, right? Like, do they think they can get the one seed against a team that's already currently undefeated?
I think yes.
I would think so, right? Because anything can happen. So I think, you want to lean into that. I think you owe it to yourself and the players, but I think you just can't put anyone at risk. Like, if anyone's close, I would err on the side of caution. And I know, look, it's easier to do that if you're playing New England or Indianapolis, and not the Chiefs, but I don't think in week 11 that I want to be pushing that hard. If someone is close, I want to err on the side of caution.
What's really counterintuitive is the idea, all right, so the one seed is the goal, and it's not at all out of reach, I mean, to say the least. If the Bills win Sunday, they'll win on ties if it's just they in Kansas City, and, you have two losses, they have one. There's just a lot of golf left. So that's the thing that's eluded the Bills, right? All offseason, our conversations, what's out there for them to achieve in the regular season, win the division again. But the one seed, we haven't had that advantage yet. So I got to think they're going to push hard for it. That's where I come down ultimately, just trying to thinking out loud. Like, I think this is like that opportunity for the Bills. If they lose, they're down three games plus the tiebreaker. Like, almost forget it. But what's counterintuitive is that if that happens, then you get the luxury of really negotiating the rest of the season, probably.
Depending on what's going on behind you and how you handle the aftermath of that loss, there is a scenario where I don't really want to put it this way, because I like the idea of pushing for the one. I've been focused on it since the Bills started hot this year, and I wasn't thinking I'd be thinking about it at all, but there is a scenario where you could get me to admit that the Chiefs are doing you a favor if they beat you on Sunday. Like, that was probably going to be really tough, and this might allow us to just sort of go to more of a load management type of mentality for the last month and a half of the season.
Whereas Kansas City is going to try to go undefeated.
Right.
And maybe not enjoy the luxury quite like they have not last year. Last year they were pressed, and they won anyway.
Yeah.
But that tremendous advantage you get as the one, I think by winning, they would be pushed, right? Maybe the fact that they're undefeated means that they're getting pushed anyway, trying to make history in that way, as opposed to what you might get as a runaway AFC East champion, but you're not getting the one seed. You know what? We've got all week, and I think for the last 5 minutes, I've sounded like they're better off losing, and I do not think that.
Right, because
my judgment is they are not better off losing.
Even if the one ends up eluding them, getting another win here, just keep going, keep stacking these up, because you could afford yourself at some point here. If people keep losing behind you here, then the opportunity to even not have to go hard to clinch the two could exist for you. And that could be really good for the Bills. That would allow them, if that were to happen, at least for, like, say, week 18, for them to just have their own bye and then, of course, have to play, you know, the full complement of playoff games. But still, you would be afforded the opportunity to not have to lean into your last game, or even maybe more than that. Who knows? Like, we'll see how it all stacks up behind them. You know, Baltimore is what, only a game back, I think. They've got three losses still.
Yeah.
So, like, they're right on your heels, really. You know, I'm thinking about Houston losing last night and getting a fourth loss and feeling like they're probably, you know, I'm not as worried about them being a threat. So, you know, you could be in a position where the two versus the three, I'm not that worried about either one. Again, that's in a scenario where you're treating losing this game as not the worst thing ever.
Good point from a listener named Jeremy on Twitter. I'm okay with guys sitting out for their health, but it does something to Allen. And I wonder what your thoughts on yesterday's game are in terms of Allen, where he gets 30 points, although there was defensive touchdown.
Right.
But he had a couple interceptions, no touchdown passes. What particular added strain is there on him without his top weapons? That's a fair point.
I do think it's considerable. I mean, I think, you know, they got there yesterday. He got to 280 yards. He made some plays. But I think it looked, we've only had like six quarters of feeling like, okay, this passing offense is, you know, this looks like what I hoped it would be when Cooper got here. And they're kind of right back to, you know, Mac Hollins had a nice game and he came through. But am I counting on that to beat the Chiefs this week, or even, you know, beat a good team in the playoffs? I mean,
doesn't Hollins deserve a little bit of credit?
He does, but I don't think there's half the league, you know, any contending team you were playing yesterday probably beats you. I mean, Flacco was a disaster. And, you know, the Bills eventually got very comfortable in this game. And really, it was, you know, their game from halftime on. Really.
That's what makes that point tough for me.
But I just didn't like how they're all, you know, I felt like Allen was kind of stuck a lot in this game.
It's another game where I don't know how much of a conversation it is, but they owe a lot of gratitude to their opponent.
Yes.
Not just because of whatever you want to say about their talent, but or their execution, but it is criminal to have Anthony Richardson on the bench when they're in third and one and fourth and one. And there were two key series in the second half where you've got Joe Flacco, absolutely no threat with his legs at all. Can you not appreciate from watching Josh Allen play the massive difference in teams, think of it in terms of the defense or just the offense, what your chances of success are on short yardage plays, fourth down especially, because on third, you could even get, you know, I don't want to say cute, but a little creative. How about creative? But with Flacco, what are you doing? I mean, you're hoping somebody beats their man on the Oliver play. That just doesn't happen. He gets sacked. Who gets just, and you have the biggest athletic freak of a quarterback of all time, including Allen, on your sideline, and you can't be brought to using him in those situations?
Well, thank God.
I mean, the politics just suffocate these teams sometimes, and that's just another level of controversy. I love that Flacco was getting booed like right away in this game, because fans know. For all the announcers, it will tell you the whole adage about, you know, if you agree with the fans, you're going to sit with them. I can't say usually, very often the fans have a better grasp on the team situation than the team looks to have. Many years in the drought when the Bills are going nowhere, and we all knew it, but, you know, they're trying to build momentum or some nonsense for the following season. How did that go? They got their momentum when they got Josh Allen on the roster. So here are the Colts. What are they going to do with Richardson? What do we care? But what a break for anybody they're playing in those situations to just not use him. Just, that's absolutely criminal. He didn't have to start. He wasn't playing well. I get the argument for benching him. I think it's you know, wrong for their organization, but I get it. They want it trying to win. They're 4-4. Now they've lost two more.
Right.
And they're already right today with Flacco's going to start this week. Hip hip hooray. You just got to make something. It was a Justin Fields point 2 years ago. You know, just try to win though. If that's if your point is to win, how does he not get used in those on those plays? What are the Bills supposed to do about Anthony Richardson on 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1?
Yeah, I think it's a very good point. They're too proud to replace
That's
Flacco.
Right.
They just
That's
don't,
right.
They don't want the specter of, you know, oh, I've got two guys now. What are we doing here? But yeah, I mean, that was a huge sequence. I mean, the Bills did a great job. I think it was Johnson and Bernard on the third down play that tackled the receiver a couple of yards or a yard short. And then, yeah, the fourth down play is Quentin Jefferson. Go figure. He just shows up and he gets a fourth down sack. That was tremendous. Just tremendous. So, yeah, I mean, Richardson's a whole different thing in that spot. Like, they don't even, like Flacco, they won't even try sneaks with Flacco.
That's right. Even that.
And how money are the Bills on sneaks? They did get stuffed on one, but then got it on the next on the fourth down anyway.
You can do anything you want, almost with just is it with or without impunity? I wanted to say
with impunity.
I'm not sure anymore.
With impunity,
you can do almost anything you want in those plays if you have Allen, Hurts, Jackson and Henry. Almost anything you want, and you're the Colts with. You know, you can almost say one of those guys.
Some version of that, sure.
And Taylor. How much easier is Taylor's life if Richardson is a running threat on those plays? Not even close. I mean, that's just absolutely criminal. Not our problem. Bills at 8-2. Kansas City this week, 9-0. What are you thinking about? Got injury updates. Eric Wood at 5 today. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here at 803-0550. Football Monday on WGR. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep-and-switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.